Last time on The Adventure Zone.
Up there, you see another goblin, and next to him, you see an unconscious human man. He sounds like Kelsey Grammer, and he looks like Common. He's one hell of a goblin. I have a proposition for you. I will let you leave this cave with your berry blue jeans, alive and unharmed. I want you to depose our current employer, whose name is Clarg. Clarg is like, he looks pretty badass.
All right, I cast Charm Person on Clarg.
He brings you out most aromatic oolong tea you have ever tasted. It is enough to level all three of you up to level 2.
What happened to Gundren?
We were contracted to acquire Gundren and deliver him to the Black Spider.
Clark's going to wake up soon, and I don't want to be where that happens.
Barry Blue Jeans is amenable to that. He's like, yeah, let's get the hell out of this cave. I'm not a big fan of this cave. My name's Barry Blue Jeans.
Once again, the yawning portal opens before you. Abandon all hope, ye who enter The Adventure Zone.
So the four of you with Barry J. Blue Jeans are walking out of the cave towards your wagon. Very far off in the distance of that cave, you hear a...
Wait, what? Ah, shit!
you manage to get back to where your cart is. Sure enough, it is just fine. It's still hidden. Nobody's managed to come across it. The dog in the back is pretty upset. But they're...
Oh, come here, Ruby. Come here.
She bites all of your hand off.
Oh, that's right. I don't care.
Let me roll for animal handling.
No.
No!
Okay,
fair enough.
Ruby's mine.
You all walk back, hop in the cart, and get back on the road towards Fandolin.
Can we do something first? We gotta talk to Barry.
Yeah, yeah.
Barry, what the hell happened?
A lot of shit, and it was all really terrible. And if you gave me the option, I would not do it again.
Why do I imagine that Bill Hader character when they all made their own puppets and they were all talking through the puppets?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I didn't think so. Sorry, it's on Saturday Night Live. I would like to... Can we...
That show hasn't been invented yet.
Oh, or has it already happened?
Oh, shit. Future fantasy.
Blew your mind. I think we ought to... Before we head out, I think we... Can we, like, do one of those perception checks or whatever?
We're talking to Barry right now.
Oh, I thought you were done. I thought he was done.
He didn't say anything.
That was not all that Barry has to offer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
How much do you guys know? Let's establish a baseline.
We know that Gundren was sold or given to someone named the Black Spider through an envoy.
Okay.
Yeah, you lied to us, in other words.
And we found your map.
Did you? You didn't find a map.
No, I'm lying.
Oh, okay. So you found the map.
Oh, we know all about the map.
Found the map.
So what was really going on, Barry?
Okay. Let's start from the beginning. Gundren and his two brothers, whose names are Thardin and Nundro.
Mm-hmm. Good friends of mine.
Cousins, right. I forgot.
Yeah.
I forgot all about that. The three of them have a claim to the lost mine of Fandolin. They managed to find out where it is.
So why didn't he tell us that right up front?
Because he didn't trust you guys. Why the hell would he trust you?
I'm his cousin!
Your fourth cousin. Dwarves have like 800 cousins. So it's like, you know, you're basically perfect strangers.
And Dayton's a bitch.
Yo, tell me about it. Or is it kind of great?
Kind of.
I don't know who this Black Spider is, but I would love to give him a piece of my mind after I rest for about 2 months. I need to sleep. Listen, I've partied pretty hard before in my life. I'm going to need to sleep this one off.
So it sounded to me like we've got no leads on Black Spider or anything like that. We should head to the town.
Listen, well, it's not my first goddamn time at the bodyguard rodeo, is it? Magnus. Barry seems pretty confident that he can track Gundren down.
Barry, let me ask you this. Do you need to go back to town?
I would love to go back to town. If we can get back there, let me get a few sips of the old hooch. And maybe a short rest. Maybe just give me like a 15-minute power nap.
Well, listen, guys, why don't we head back to town?
Just gonna kick on the white noise.
To go back to town.
Okay. Let's go back to town, and then maybe we can buy some junk.
Sounds sure. Good. Yeah, sure. Maybe some Oron candy.
Whatever.
Well, why are you beefing now?
No, look, I'll go along with the majority. That's fine.
Dad, would you rather stay here where we know nothing and nothing is going on?
No, you're right as always. It's fine.
You've been listening to Passive Aggressive Dungeons and Dragons.
This has been Dungeons and Dragons with Arnani.
No, let's go. Let's go to town. Yay, town.
Okay, you all get back to town. I don't know if you actually want to buy shit, because I'm not 100% sure how you do that, per se. Fanalina is a very large town compared to, I guess, some of the bullshit villages that you guys have been through. It's a town on the up and up, recovering from the collapse of the mining economy. So there are general stores and armories that have really great names, according to this book. There's Lion Shield Coster. I guess you could buy, like, a sword or some shit there. You drop off Barry Blue Jeans to get his rest on. Oh, by the way, I need my box of shit.
Cool.
You need your box of shit.
Yeah. All right.
Well, why don't we let him rest first?
No, I'm just gonna go ahead and take that with me into the inn. I got a change of clothes in there. I smell like a wet dog.
Okay. These guys have already burned us once. We don't know this Barry Blue Jeans from shit.
Okay.
How do we know he's not going to take off when this?
All right. I'll stay in the inn. And you guys go buy things.
You want me to pick anything up for
you? No, you're the one that wants to go to town. Okay. Let me stay in the inn.
All right, you stay in the inn. I'll go buy things.
So the four of you sit down to sort of further discuss your next plan of attack. Barry is very set on finding Gundren. If it gets out that he allowed his client to get kidnapped or dwarf-napped, it's not going to be great for his reputation. So he is, he's looking around. He says, like I said, that map, that was a fake. The real map, and this is really great. You guys are gonna love this. The real map is inside that goddamn dwarf.
Yuck.
No, it's not like in his, he's not like in his butt or any, well, I guess a little bit. It's his,
Is it like Fifth Element style?
No, it wasn't love the whole time.
Okay.
and he's rooting around. He says, and he pulls out a parchment that is completely blank. And he says, "Oh, thank God they didn't get this," and spreads it out and keeps digging around. He says, "That dwarf, his blood is actually the map. His blood, isn't that great? Have you heard anything of that before?"
Wow!
Yeah.
What the hell are you talking about?
He says, he gave me a vial. He's like digging around the box. He gave me a vial of his blood. He's dumping the box out. He's emptying it upside down. And he's saying, like, well, never mind then. I may not have a way to find him if we can't find this blood. Shit.
Well, I'm a cousin. Would my blood work?
That is not a bad idea, he says. And he's like, can I borrow your hand there for a second?
I'd be a little more comfortable if you let me decide where the blood was going to come from.
I mean, just make sure you get a lot, and make sure it's good blood.
When you say a lot...
Tell me about your cholesterol.
Not good.
Well,
not bad. It's in the it's the good cholesterol for dwarves.
Okay. What's that, like 1400 in that range?
In there.
Okay.
All right, so I take the very unsanitary looking fork,
okay,
laying on the table, and I prick my finger and started dripping.
Okay, with each you managed to hit a vein, you hit a major artery.
Finger vein
in my finger.
Uh-huh. Well, you don't know about dwarf anatomy. You don't know
and
what's
you're
going on.
You're real good at this. As a cleric, you know exactly where the veins are.
So it's weird. It's with every drop of blood that you put on this vellum, you're assuming is enchanted in some way to react to Rockseeker blood.
That, or Barry's just a giant prick.
Yeah,
no,
he's
just kidding.
I can't believe you fell for it again. No, with
the old
each,
your blood is the map trick.
Your blood is actually almost molding itself. It's weird. It's like it's not turning into ink. It's staying on top of the paper, almost like it's hydrophobic, and it's forming this shape. With each drop, it's filling out more and more and more of this shape. And you do that for a few minutes. Barry's looking very impatient. He's like, well, can you cut more? Can we do more holes? I thought you guys were like big, brave heroes, and you're just like, it's like a child getting a booster shot over here.
Yeah. Eat me, Barry. Let's just go on.
Okay. So you managed to get a lot of blood on this paper, and you recognize it by comparing it to the other map that it is pointing to the Sword Mountains, which are about a day's ride from Phandalin. And there's one point where your blood has sort of formed a circle around the foothills of the Sword Mountains. And Barry goes, I'll be a son of a bitch.
Okay, so how do we know that's where Thundren is?
Gundren.
Told you, we're very close.
If he was taken by the Black Spider, I'm assuming that they were going to take him this cave. This cave, you got to understand, this is the Rockseeker's birthright. This cave. This is an area of tremendous power, and they see it as their birthright. It belongs to them, but they are probably not the only ones looking for it. So if the Black Spider took them, I guarantee you he takes them here.
How far are the Sword Mountains from where we're at?
A day. Day's ride.
Day's ride?
Yeah.
So we need to get some horses? Or?
Oh, you can use my cart if you want.
Do you want to come with us, Barry?
I really need to rest.
Barry, it would look bad if you let your charge, if you didn't rescue them. I mean, what?
It would look super bad if I just, like, died. Well, it would be equally bad.
Be bad for business.
Let me pitch you this. It's going to be equally bad for my career if I just fucking die.
That's a good point. Okay, maybe you could pay us part of your commission if we go
save. Yeah, I think you should cut us in if we're going to rescue this guy. You give us half of whatever you're getting paid to guard him.
If you can find this cave, you are not going to have to worry about money ever, ever again.
Because we'll die?
No. Well, maybe. I'm not a psychic.
All right, but you got to give us the map.
If you don't, oh, sure. I mean, it's your blood. Fuck it.
Okay.
Before we go, is there anything else you can tell us about Black Spider or this cave?
I haven't met this Black Spider. The cave's called Wave Echo Cave, and I know that's a silly name, but it's just what they call it. I didn't come up with it.
I do have one question.
Yeah.
Is Black Spider like a nickname, or is he a giant Black Spider?
He never heard of him. Why are you asking him?
Because Magnus isn't good with spiders.
And apparently not good with paying attention.
I mean, I've never seen
it for other people.
Spiders are pretty small, right? So, I don't know how that guy would be able to, like, kidnap and extort and shit. It's just a little spider. But I don't know. They don't pay me to think.
All right. Thanks, Barry. Do we need provisions? Do we need to buy provisions for?
I'm not going to ever make you guys worry about food and shit.
No, we're
okay,
good.
Perfect.
That is a, Let's that roll is out. A Griffin McRae.
What time of day is it right now?
Mid afternoon.
Did we rest?
Yeah. You guys have taken a long rest. You're back at zero.
Let's move out.
All right,
let's roll out.
Let's ride.
Okay.
Here we come a running. Head out on the highway.
So
that was a good montage.
Following this,
are we there now?
We're there.
Dad and I montage just there.
Yeah, no,
you're totally... I missed it. I'll meet you guys there.
You guys are totally there. You followed this dwarven blood map. It's pretty sweet looking map. It's all gothic and shit. It looks like a Slipknot cover album.
Wait, a Slipknot...
A Slipknot album? A Slipknot album cover.
This is my album of Slipknot covers. The one by Peter.
I call
Buehler.
It Loose Bow.
So I'm jumping way, way forward. So I'm going to have to... You guys are going to have to bear with me because you're not supposed to be at Wavecker Cave yet. You're supposed to be like level 4 or 5 by the time you reach Wavecker Cave.
That sounds good.
Huh? Well, maybe we need to go somewhere else first.
No, because I don't want you
to... Should we go grind, like kill some gnolls or something to level up? Or collect some belts to turn in for something?
Yeah, you go to Crushbone Castle and you collect belts and now you're level 20. No, you'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
What did we miss?
I mean, there's other stuff in this book, but I don't want to stick to this book for any longer than we absolutely have to.
Okay. All right.
There's like a castle and there's like a bunker. You guys have managed to find this region of foothills leading into the Sword Mountains, and following this map, which is for a thing made out of human body fluid or dwarven body fluid, incredibly detailed, you managed to find your way to the entrance of Wave Echo Cave, and from inside you actually hear, appropriately enough, what sounds like crashing waves, and they're very intermittent. Every 2 minutes or so, you hear like the sounds of waves breaking on a shore, but very, very, very loud,
and real echoey,
and super, super, super echoey. Okay. And it's actually quite cold inside the cave as you move.
Did I bring a jacket?
You brought a nice parka.
Can I roll to see if I brought a jacket?
Yeah, please. Are you not?
Oh,
are you actually going to do it?
It's a two.
Oh no, two. You didn't. You didn't bring a shirt.
No, it's a members only jacket. A members only jacket.
No way
for a
two.
That's for members only.
No way.
Yeah, but how much protection is that going to be?
No, you're jacketless.
It's surprisingly comfy. Thank you very much.
You're jacketless, and your nipples are super hard, and they're that like type of hard where like they keep rubbing against the inside of your shirt, and like they're chafing, and you hate it.
But like it a little bit.
Nope. You only hate it. You start to make your way into the Wave Echo Cave, and sort of true to history, because remember, this was a mine where magical ores were mined out and crafted into incredibly powerful magic weapons. The walls of the cave are almost luminous. They have a bioluminescence to them, where you honestly don't really need a torch. There seems to be just sort of a natural light emanating all around you. The walls are sort of shimmering with latent energy. So you make your way into the cave entrance. There's a large cavern that's supported by a natural rock pillar, a few stalagmites. And in the western part of this cavern foyer, behind a column of rock are a few bedrolls and a heap of some supplies, some sacks of flour and salt and meat and lanterns and oil and pickaxes and shovels and other sort of mining gear. And amid those supplies, you see the body of a dwarf wearing some mining gear.
Do we know the dwarf?
You actually do. It's Thardon. Thardon Rockseeker,
their cousin.
Yeah.
Okay.
You identify his body and point it out to your compatriots.
And maybe
just say Thardon.
That's Thardon there.
And maybe one solitary tear. One tear.
I know that fool. That there's Thardon.
You guys go ahead and laugh.
I grab one of the lanterns.
Okay. You can grab a lantern if you want. You guys can have your pick. Thardon's certainly not gonna need it, right? He's fucking dead. He died.
I searched Thardon's body for valuables.
You actually, you find on him a pair of...
I do it covertly so the other guys don't see.
Okay. make a stealth...
It's my cousin!
Make a sleight of hand check, then.
This is a tradition in my culture. It's a blessing that we do for the dead. that we help to.
I'd like to roll against this roll.
Help to usher them into.
Okay, Justin. The next Justin, world. Make a sleight of hand check, and Dad make a perception check.
Okay, I need to see the d20. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
12.
All right, I only got a 9.
Okay, Justin.
No, 10. Sorry.
Okay. Taco, you notice that his boots are actually really great boots. These are
they are made for walking.
They are actually made for jumping. They are magic boots of striding and springing. And so you managed to get those off of him without anybody else noticing.
That's some pretty fucking good sleight of hand. I have to give it to myself.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they are loafers. So they're loafers of springing.
Jumping loafers.
Now, yeah. Will that, can I wear those?
I'll explain what they are, because maybe you'll decide to give them to somebody else, which might be kind of uncomfortable if you give them to Merle, because then you'll be like, oh, I just found these definitely not on your cousin's corpse. But these are, your speed while wearing these boots becomes 30 feet, unless your walking speed is higher, and your speed is not reduced if you are encumbered or wearing heavy armor. In addition, whenever you jump, you can jump 3 times the normal distance.
I would like those, please.
I think you already
are
have
they
jumping.
Like, would these create an encumbrance for, like, my spell gesturing?
No.
No, but, okay.
But you're not going to be running into anything. You're not going to be jumping into battle.
Okay, I would like to give these to Magnus when Merle's not looking.
Okay. Make a sleight
of hand.
Make another.
Gosh, what are you doing?
Make another sleight of hand check for me.
Gosh, what's going on over there?
We'll use Dad's original perception check to contest it, but go ahead and make that sleight of hand check.
Okay, a 14.
Yeah, okay. Dang. You slide these boots. Dad, you're just like so tore up.
Well, yeah, he's dead.
So now I can jump 3 times as far.
You have 3 times the normal jumping distance, yeah.
Sweet. And then I say, I wonder what happened to those boots I gave him for Christmas.
Where are his Christmas shoes?
Those other guys must have stolen his magic Christmas shoes.
And the magic Christmas shoes increase my speed? Because I'm already at 30.
No, then it's just there. Okay. If you do ever get get heavier armor that would normally decrease your speed, it negates that effect.
Oh, I actually take that back. I think my speed was decreased by my chainmail, and so that brings it back up to 30 because I was at 25.
Okay.
Great.
Cool.
Hey, while we're talking bullshit, I wanted to ask real quick, Griffin. When I leveled up, it said I got an extra hit die.
Yeah.
What is that?
So hit die are what you spend during short rest to get hit points back. You started out with just one, and then you roll your hit die. For you, I think it's a D6, and then you add your constitution modifier. And before, you could only do that once before you needed to take a long rest. Now you have two of those, so does that make sense?
Got it, yeah.
Cool. Okay, so in the back of this chamber behind this mining campsite where Thardin is totally dead in, you see a pit, an open pit in the back of the cave. And at the bottom of that pit, in the back wall is a tunnel that is leading further into the cave.
How deep is the pit? Do I need to do a perception thing or?
No, you can see a pit.
Just spit in it.
Okay.
We'll say it's about 20 feet. It's about 20 feet down. And then at the bottom of the pit, is a tunnel leading into the cave.
Let's go in the pit.
Let's pit it.
You'll have to make a athletics check if you want to try and climb down, unless you want to use some sort of special tool to get down there.
My athletics is great. Let me go first, and I'll catch you.
Can I grab one of those pickaxes to help?
Sure. Why not? Great. Now you have a pickaxe.
I'm going to use that to help climb down.
Oh, cool. What's the word? Like a piton?
Yeah, like a piton.
Python?
Okay, piton? I'm going to go ahead and jump down.
Okay.
Oh, cool. I just did that thing. You could do the thing I did.
Well, but my athletics aside, if I can get down there first.
Okay, roll an athletics check for me.
Oh, God. See, I didn't roll in the box. I got to roll in the box.
Your magic, always 20 box.
Yeah, hold on.
Your magic box of cheating.
fair enough. It's 13.
13. That's insufficient. You don't fall, though. You just, you get about halfway down. And you get really scared, and you're just sort of holding on to the edge of the wall. So you can try again if you want to try and get down the rest of the way.
9 plus 6, 15.
Okay, yeah, you managed to get down. Great. The other two?
Okay, I'm going to climb down.
Okay, using the rock face.
I'll spot you.
Okay.
16.
Okay, yeah, you make it down. Taco, are you going to use your pickaxe?
Yeah, I'm using my pickaxe.
I'll give you advantage because I think that's a cool idea.
Thank you. Oh, I got an 18 and 16 with my athletics is
no, it's,
zero.
It's more than enough. 18. Yeah, you all three get down and see this entrance moving into the back. It looks almost like it was carved into the cave. There's actually a lot of like rubble lying around, almost like this cavern has been excavated. It's almost a perfect square, so you think that it was probably dug out to get people deeper into the Wave Echo Cave. So you can start to move down this, but you realize as you move along that this path is actually branching off and moving almost like a labyrinth into the cave. You guys run into a few dead ends. You do a little bit of map making.
Oh, God, you need more blood.
No, just normal maps.
Oh,
not freaky dwarf blood maps.
Oh, good.
And you manage to find your way through these caverns. And you hear this sound behind you as you make your way through that almost sounds like...
Cool.
Behind us?
Yeah.
There's either a duck coming or someone's farting.
No, it's... Sorry, I didn't do it good. Hold on, let me do a little bit of... Foley work here.
Okay. Oh, it's definitely farting.
I think someone's having like some Go-Gurt.
Oh God, I almost choked to death.
You gotta be careful when D&Ding. It's a when very dangerous foleying. Game.
So you're moving through these caverns and you hear that sound almost like it is stalking you from behind.
Can I hear the sound again? Because I'm still
son of a bitch. How was that?
That was good. Wait, if we stop moving, does the sound stop?
No, it gets louder.
Okay, great. Hurry.
So we move a little bit, and what do we hear?
You hear that sound that I'm not going to do a third goddamn time.
Oh, come on. One more, please.
Splooch, 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 splooch.
We got to get out of this jack-off cave.
Why did we even come to a place called jack-off cave?
What were we thinking?
I told you guys.
So, yeah, you guys can try and hoof it through the jack-off cave.
How about if, is it possible we just wait and see what's coming? Pardon my choice of words.
Yeah. I say we keep going, and maybe a little bit faster.
Hey everyone, this is your Dungeon Master Griffin with a quick non-canonical The Adventure Zone break. I'm going to use this time in the show to catch you guys up on what's happening with the show, what's new, because it would be weird if Taco was like, by the way, follow us on Facebook. That's my Taco impression. Thank you all so, so, so much for your support in the launch of The Adventure Zone. We managed to climb up the iTunes numbers and have gotten a lot of really great reviews that have really helped us out since our launch a couple weeks ago. So we really do appreciate that a whole lot. You guys have been so kind and so supportive. If you haven't done that yet, if you haven't left us an iTunes review, it really is super helpful for making sure that we are promoted on the podcast section of iTunes, which is like so important when a show launches. Or if you can just tweet about the show or tell a friend, we've got the hashtag that we cooked up, TazCast, T-A-Z-Cast. Hopefully we'll find something a little bit more holistic than that someday. You can also follow us on Twitter at TheZoneCast and keep up with all of the updates as we go. We're going to launch another website on which we can post stuff like fan art and updated character sheets as the guys level up. And change for people who are interested in that stuff. If not, that's cool. You can just listen to the show and the goofs. If this is your first Maximum Fun podcast that you're listening to, welcome to The Fold. There are a lot of other really great podcasts that you should take a moment to listen to. If you haven't listened to our other podcast, My Brother and Me, that might be in your wheelhouse. But there's a ton of other shows too, Throwing Shade, Jordan Jesse Go, Judge John Hodgman. Seriously, like over a dozen shows, all free, all really great. So make sure that you go give those a listen. We're going to try to include you guys in a few fun ways in the show. In the future, so if you tweet about the show with the hashtag TazCast, we're actually going to name a few NPCs after people who do that, so that might be fun. I also have this idea for like building an in-game shop with merchandise that you guys create. I'm still formulating, still percolating that. If you can't tell, I'm really, really excited about this show, and I have a ton of ideas for the campaign and stuff that we can all do together. We can make you guys part of the adventure. So I'm really excited about that opportunity. Anyway, let's get back to the show. Thanks again for listening and for sharing the show, and enjoy the rest of this Jizz Tunnel adventure. So the three of you have emerged from the Jerkoff cave. And you are very happy to be out of that particular place.
Well, yeah.
And you find yourself on this large stone ledge, sort of a stone outcropping that is just sort of a natural part of the cave, overlooking about quite a ways down, about 10 stories down, actually, a giant spring filled with, well, spring water. That
is like
enormous.
A diving board?
It's shimmering. It's not a diving board. No, it's more like a ledge. You're just standing on it. It's floor. Above the spring is a giant stalactite that is actually glowing much, much brighter than the walls of the cave, which remember are sort of having.
So wait, are we still
shimmer.
In the cave?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You
yeah,
said we left the cave.
We just left the jerk-off portion.
You left the jerk-off tunnel. Let's. You know what? I should. You're right, Justin. That's my fault as a DM. I should watch my parlance. It was a jerk-off tunnel.
Okay. So we're out of jerk-off tunnel.
You're out of jerk-off canyon. Listen, a cave can be made up of all kinds of sorts of different things. Springs.
Some of them having nothing to do with jerking off.
Yeah.
You've never seen me in a cave.
That's true. Hold on, is this funny? Spunker? Like a spelunker?
But
like,
I don't think that's actually funny at all.
Hey, Taco. Hey, Merle. Should I jump in this spring?
Well, it's 10 stories down,
ten
so you'd almost,
stories.
You'd
no,
almost
I recognize
certainly
that.
Do.
Should I jump in?
No, don't do it.
No, not yet.
Don't okay. do it.
Don't do it.
So you actually realize that periodically, every few minutes or so, a single drop of water sort of forms on the stalactite, as stalactite drops of water are wont to do, and falls into this spring. And when it does, it actually causes this disproportionately enormous wave from the outside, sort of just like a ripple that moves very, very quickly and just sort of pushes up against the walls of the cave and comes flying up with like absolutely tremendous force. Some of that water actually manages to get up onto the outcropping that you're standing on, which you actually now realize is blanketed in this carpet of fungus. But it's not like any fungus you've ever seen before. It's these shimmering, beautiful, multicolored mushrooms that you are sort of standing and looking at from the exit of the Jerkoff Tunnel. And they're absolutely beautiful. They're beautiful mushrooms. And on the other side of the ledge is a wooden elevator, sort of a lift, leading down to a path sort of circling the spring.
Do any of you have a nature skill? Could you check out those mushrooms, see if you know anything about them?
Yes, I'm +3 for nature.
Okay. Mm. You can make a nature check if you want.
I'd like to make a nature check.
Okay.
No, wait a minute. That was Justin saying that. I'd like to make a nature check.
Okay.
Oh, he's becoming one.
You've never 22. Seen... Oh, go ahead. 22. That was really, really good. You've never seen these mushrooms before. You don't...
Sorry, 22.
You've never
they
seen...
They should be fucking named after me.
You've never seen a book.
You get a book published about these mushrooms.
Taco shroom gomas.
Taco stools.
Taco stools.
Right, that sounds nasty.
Oh, man. I actually got a Crunchwrap Supreme at Taco Bell the other day that gave me the taco stools for the rest of the day. It was really bad. So you've never seen these mushrooms before. You're not sure what they are, but you did notice actually that as you exited the tunnel and are sort of standing over this carpet of mushrooms, that they actually seem to react to your presence somehow. They sort of swelled up a little bit as soon as you entered the room, and as soon as you sort of started talking, some of them started shuddering a little bit. Some of them started rattling a little bit. So you don't know what they are, but you did notice that they had some sort of natural biological response to just the three of you being there.
Hail and well met, mushrooms.
As you say that, Travis, to the mushrooms, a group of them right below you shoot a cloud of spores straight upwards in your direction. So I need you to make a constitution saving throw.
No, that's just their way of saying hello. constitution, you say?
Yeah.
13.
Okay. You sniffle. You get the sniffles, but you're fine.
Okay.
Bless you.
Shh, everyone be quiet.
Actually, as you said that, like a little cloud of spores just kind of shot up to your ankles, but then came right back down.
Okay.
Guys, I think there's something with the mushrooms.
You did it again, and they just sort of get up a little bit.
Okay. Listen, I'm going to point at the elevator.
What are your guys? I need your character sheet so I can just know this stuff offhand and not ruin the mystery. But what are your guys' passive perception skills?
Passive is
mine's 3.
No, your passive perception would be, I think it's 10 plus your perception modifier. Yeah.
Then mine's 13.
13.
Mine is 9.
9. Okay. I want Merle and Taco to go ahead and make perception checks for me. Okay.
I'll just sit over here and whistle.
17 for me.
12 for me.
Okay, Justin, you actually
Sorry,
noticed.
I don't know a Justin.
Sorry, it's...
He's losing his sense of self.
Let's part the kimono a little bit. it's been a month or so since the last time we played. Taco, you notice hanging from the ceiling... actually, I should say it was on the ceiling. Now it is falling. A giant black blob mass that is now plummeting right on top of where Magnus is standing. And it is in the process of falling, looking like it's attacking him. And it makes a sound like...
Oh, it's Gusher. He was my favorite folk hero growing up.
I would... Well,
it's coming at Magnus.
You didn't see shit, Merle.
I'm the one who sees it.
Hold on. That's right. You saw it.
Can I see the look of panic on his face and dodge out of the way?
Does he make a panic? It's all up to Taco. We're role playing now.
How close am I to Magnus?
I don't know. I mean, you guys just exited this tunnel. You're probably relatively close. You're probably just checking out the sights as you were on this ledge.
While he makes up his mind, may I make one comment?
Yeah.
Magnus, are those new boots?
They are new boots. Thank you. I crafted really them good. While you were napping.
Both of you guys make constitution saving throws for me.
Oh, you dullards. That's right. To Dad and Travis.
Yeah.
17.
22. Okay, no, 21. 21.
You're still fine. I'm going to need you to make up your mind or else
I'm
going to...
I cast Ray of Frost on the blob.
You're going to try and hit it while it's falling from the ceiling?
It's a cantrip. I'm going to hit it... Ray of Frost through the blob.
All right, I like this.
And I'm going to say that as soon as he raises his hands and I see a ray of frost coming at me, I'm going to dive down.
I don't think. I mean, you're not going to know exactly what's going on. You just see Taco sort of spin on his heels and volley a ray of frost at this falling object.
That's why I'm saying I'm going to move. I don't want to get hit by a ray of frost.
You don't see this happening.
No, nobody does. Except for Taco. Taco. This is gonna be a hard shot. I'm actually gonna give you disadvantage on this attack because this thing is falling at terminal velocities.
Okay.
So that means you roll twice on the attack and you use the worst. Yeah.
Okay. I got an 18.
Okay.
What do I add to this, Griffin? Add to my roll.
I think it's +5. It's your spellcasting modifier plus your proficiency bonus.
So 23.
So 23 and 10.
Oh, 10.
Ah, dip.
Wait, remind me how Ray of Frost works. Is it just an attack on their AC?
It is on a hit, it does 1d8 cold damage, and its speed is reduced by 10 feet until the start of your next turn.
Okay. So you managed to get a hit off. Why don't you go ahead and roll damage on it?
Nice.
We'll count this as a surprise round, I guess.
Three.
Just three damage?
Yep.
It's not very much damage. So you hit it.
Nice.
It doesn't freeze it, but it does sort of push it back a little bit, and it lands with a very, very loud splooch directly behind Magnus, who now, I assume, is aware of its presence.
Now, wouldn't the amount of noise it makes alert the mushrooms?
It actually didn't. Oh. That's weird that you noticed that. Very perceptive of you, though. Are you sure that you only have a 9 passive perception? Because well, it seems like you
I
have
receive it, but I don't get it.
It seems like you've got your wits about you.
How big is the splooge wet spot?
That's the worst sentence I've ever heard you say.
Hey, it's your terminology, pal.
It's not. It's about the size of you, actually. It's about dwarf height. It's a big production. And now that the shit done popped off, as we DMs like to say, let's all roll initiative. You guys remember how to do that?
Well, hold on. Maybe he's not going to attack us. Maybe he just wants to be our gushy buddy.
No, he's definitely not going to be your gushy buddy.
Okay.
You guys will have to be each other's gushy buddies.
I got 19.
Ooh.
5 for me.
Oh, I got 4.
You guys need to get some initiative.
All right, first in the order is everyone's favorite fighter, Magnus Burnside.
Is that me?
Go for it.
Yeah.
First.
You are standing right next to this thing. I would say Merle and Taco, you guys are about 10 feet away.
Okay, so this is like sentient, right? This is not
just this is a sentient.
Okay. All right.
Ochre jelly is what it is. It's not a gelatinous blob. You would know, or a gelatinous cube. You would know that's a gelatinous cube.
I'd be dead.
They're cube shaped. Also, okay. This isn't a cube. It's just sort of a mound, a round pound of sound.
I'm going to attack him.
Okay.
With my battle axe, two handed.
Sweet ass.
Thanks. I got a 9.
That's actually enough to hit its armor class.
Sweet. And then I do 1d8. 7 plus 4. So I did, we'll go with that. 11.
11. Bad news. Some people might actually call it terrible news. He has a strength against slashing damage. So that's the first. There's two discrete pieces of bad news.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
was the first. So he's actually only going to take half damage from that. That's a good clean hit, though. Also, whenever the ochre jelly takes slashing damage, it splits into two new jellies mm-hmm. as if it has at least 10 hit points. So now you have two jellies.
Now, Griffin, why didn't you tell me that before I did it?
You should have like known better.
You could have helped a brother out and just told me, like, hey, don't slash this guy.
If you were making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and you drop some jelly on the counter, are you uh-huh. going to take a knife and just start cutting at it, you dumb son of a bitch?
It's all I've got. What am I going to do, shoot it with an arrow?
That's piercing damage. That would have been preferable, certainly.
Oh, okay.
Well you then, got double. You then, got double jellies now.
Then I'm going to now move out of the way.
You're not going to do anything. You're done.
No, I can attack, and now I'm going to retreat back to you guys and uh-huh. get away from it.
Okay. Are you going to stand in front of them like a brave fighter? Or are you going
to... More to the side, like showing that we're all in this together.
Okay, great. It's now the double jellies' turn. One of the jellies just sort of waddles over to...
Please keep in mind that its speed is reduced by 10 feet.
Oh, shit, that's a good point, Justin. I'll say that one of their speed is reduced by 10 feet.
I think that's BS, but okay.
Okay, no, you're right. Both of them have a speed of 10 feet, which you have just reduced to 0 feet.
Oof.
So one of them just sort of sits there and shudders about. The other one sort of melts around some of the fungus on the floor and sort of absorbs it up into its mass. So now he's got some fungus sort of floating around in there. But neither of them are capable of hitting from that far away. So you guys are safe. Good play, Justin. Good Dungeons and Dragons-ing. Next in the order, who rolled a 5?
Hey, Taco, you're a great wizard.
Yeah, you're super good at wizards.
Thanks. I'm going to do Magic Missile since we got two cats here.
We have cats now?
No, I mean, they're things. Dudes. I'm going to use two darts on the one on the left and one dart on the one on the right, from my perspective.
Okay. How does that work again?
I create three glowing darts of magical force. Each dart hits a creature of your choice within range that you can see. A dart deals 1d4 plus 1 force damage to the target.
Okay, do you just want to roll one damage dice for all three?
Well, let's see how that goes.
Yeah, if it's a good roll.
If it's a good roll.
No, that's not how we... That's not... Listen, that's a shitty house rule. That's a...
Good news, it's 4. So yes, one roll for all three will be just fine.
Okay, remind me how you distributed them again?
Basically, that will be 10... force damage to the one on the left, and 5 force damage to the one on the right.
Okay. And the one on the right is the one that had the mushrooms up in its girth.
Right.
Okay. Cool. Next in the order is Merle.
I'm going to cast Sacred Flame on the one on the right with the fungi.
Sacred Flame means they make a dodge, right?
The target must succeed on a dexterity saving throw.
Yeah. Against your spellcasting modifier, it's just 13. So they have to beat a 13. Guys, you won't believe this. Dexterity, not these goddamn jelly strong. and you're doing this on the one on the right, right?
Yeah, the one with the fungus.
Oh, goddamn, that's a 19, though. That is going to do it. That jelly just made the save of its lifetime. So you don't do it. You do burn away a bit of the carpet of fungi around that one on the right, so he's not going to be eating any more shrooms until he starts moving around.
Well, good. I hope I've made their friendship.
Back to the top of the order. It's you, Magnus.
Hey, guys. I don't think we're ready for this jelly.
Travis, I need you to make a constitution saving.
No, that was to Justin and Dad. That wasn't as Magnus.
Are you? I don't think
Magnus
so.
Magnus doesn't make bad jokes like
you
that.
Kinda had like a tone, you kind of had like a tone in your voice that made it sound like that.
You know it was Magnus because it's much more like, oh, rah, 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 rah.
Hey, don't you've never done that. You've never done that voice.
I think we all know that that's how Magnus sounds. Look in your heart.
Maybe we are reaching. Are so distracted.
We are reaching the Tom Hanks event horizon where Travis just is Magnus, and then I guess he like kills himself in a Magnus. Cave somewhere. Okay. Okay. So go ahead and play Dungeons and Dragons.
Okay, I'm going to shoot my short bow then.
Okay. At which one?
At the one with the fungus in him.
Okay.
Okay. And I got critical miss.
I did bad.
Yeah, you did a very bad job.
I'm bad at games.
You actually, yeah, you miss really bad. It goes flying off the ledge into the water.
My favorite arrow.
Yeah. Yeah. You got that arrow sign by Fantasy Bird Backrack. It was your favorite. Next in the order is the jellies, who are now going to move and do stuff. One of them waddles up to Merle.
Are you sure it's not Taco's turn?
Yeah, I'm 100% sure.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
One of them waddles up to Merle and sort of starts to stand
holy
on its legs. Stand on its gelatinous legs and sort of form a sort of pod, a big meaty jelly fist.
Griffin, how much do these things look like the creatures from Flubber?
That's actually the original name. The book says to call them Flubber, but I wanted to avoid any
copyright,
sort of, any sort of trademark disputes. So it forms a sort of gelatinous fist with some of its mass and sort of tries to smash into Merle.
I'm going to use my protection thing.
Okay. So that forces disadvantage?
Correct.
That's good because I rolled an 18, which would have been 22. Instead, it is a 17 plus 4, which is 21, which I assume is going to hit.
You're welcome, Merle. Glad I could help.
Merle, you take... God damn it, I rolled 2 ones. You take 4 bludgeoning damage plus 3 acid damage.
That's
7.
Seven.
Wow, yeah. forgot to maybe scale these guys down a little bit. These are them level 5 monsters I was talking about earlier.
Now Merle took 7?
Yeah.
I took 7.
Yeah.
Ow.
I was wondering why you didn't look more concerned about that.
Yeah. I guess because I thought it was you.
No, I'm the one that's named after Mexican food.
Bad
stuffs.
Daddy. Okay. And I'm named after Merle Haggard, of course.
Perfect.
The right jelly will make a path for a wall that it's relatively close to, sort of gobbling up shrooms as it goes, and starts to actually climb up the wall of the cave, heading back up towards the ceiling.
Coward.
And that's what he's going to do with his turn. Next up is Taco.
So how are they looking right now? If I look at the two of them,
you got one
terms of condition.
You've got one right up against you guys that just smashed Merle. That looks pretty puny. Looks pretty weak. As you guys are sort of blasting them with magic and the attacks that have landed on them, you're just sort of splattering parts of them away. Mm-hmm. So the one that just attacked Merle is pretty puny. The one that's scaling the wall is actually pretty big still. Still pretty huge. It's got a bunch of those mushrooms floating around. There's something actually now that he's up against this glowing wall. Mm-hmm. You can sort of see through him a little bit, and there's a larger figure sort of in the healthier looking, beefier one that's climbing the wall. Okay. So if you were to con them, you would say that the one that just attacked Merle is probably a little closer to the ropes.
All right, I'm going to hit him with a Ray of Frost.
Okay.
19.
Oh, yeah.
7.
You hit him for 7 damage?
Mm-hmm.
That was a good attack.
Hey, you did a good job, Taco.
Thank you. I'm all magicked out. I'll take my constitution check now.
He is Sorry, go ahead. Roll that.
It's a 15.
Okay, you're fine. Wow, these are good constitution saving throws you guys are doing.
We're very constituted.
I guess that's true. The jelly is frozen completely solid.
Are they strong or weak against stomping damage?
There's only one way to find out. Okay. After Taco is Merle.
Okay, Merle left to take a call. I've been covering for Merle.
Oh, come on.
I know.
You've ruined the fantasy.
There's no cell phones in Dungeons & Dragons.
So everyone's back? Everyone ready?
We are all back.
I hear somebody's Pepsi Max bubbling up.
It's a surge.
It's a surge, actually.
Are you kidding me?
And it's the color of windshield wiper fluid.
Well,
it's the most
Dungeons
& Dragons thing I could think to drink.
Yeah,
and
good job.
Justin didn't sleep for 6 days.
You really split the uprights. Justin, I'm actually going to give you a point of inspiration for drinking Surge while we play Dungeons & Dragons. Go ahead and write that down on your character sheet.
Don't know what that's for.
You can use that whenever you want to gain advantage on a roll. Merle, sorry, it's your turn. You got one frozen goo ball right in front of you, and you got one climbing up the walls.
Okay, and I wasn't paying attention. You talked about the condition of the two of them.
One is frozen solid right in front of you.
One of them is climbing up the wall. All right, then I'm going to cast Sacred Flame on the one climbing up the wall.
Okay. So it makes a check, a dexterity check against 13. That's a 9 plus, sorry, minus 2. That's a 7. So, yeah, that's a hit.
7.
Good hit.
Palpable hit.
Yeah. Okay. He takes the hit, sort of loses some of his goo. Just sort of streaks down the wall. Just a bunch of streaky goo.
Streaks on the china.
We can't do a crossover Mr. Belvedere jerk-off reference. Top of the order, Magnus.
I want to kick the frozen one.
Okay.
I want to kick him over the edge of the ledge.
Okay. Go ahead and make a kick check, I guess.
What if it's a kick check?
That would be an unarmed strike. So,
and we call that a Pele grip.
Are you proficient in unarmed, you know?
I have a +6 in unarmed.
No, you don't.
I do.
Is this pre-nerf? is this before I patched you?
Let me see. Hold on.
No, it's fine. +6. Cool. Okay. Do it.
So I got an 11.
Okay. Yeah, that does it. Because the thing is dead. But you did a
You really showed him.
You really drove the point home. that you guys aren't nothing to fuck with.
And then you never said he was dead. You just said he was frozen.
So what happens? What happens to the bomb?
It's gone. It's just it turned into snow. It turned into beautiful snow, and the snow is swirling all around you.
Let it go. Let it go.
Dad, I need you to make a Constitution save.
great. Five.
That's what you five. Get.
That's not going to do it. You are going to take 1d4 poison damage.
Great.
A two.
It's worth it.
All right.
When I look at the snow, I say, that's how we do.
And then you make my constitution.
It's 22.
22. Yeah.
21. Sorry, 21.
And I yell, guys, stop talking.
Just make a constitution saving.
I got a six.
A six, yeah. You're going to take 1d4 poison damage.
Okay.
That's a one.
I shriek in terror, seeing him poison.
You take a constitution saving throw.
15.
Yeah, you're fine. The jelly
we
is going
to
take...
We have to keep it down. The fungus is reacting to the sound of our voice. That is a seven.
Okay. That's a three. That's 3 points of damage on top of the one that you took. Okay. So if everybody's done with this monkey shines...
Ow.
You weren't supposed to die in this room.
We're not real good at this.
Actually, while you guys were doing all that, you lost sight of the jelly scaling
cool,
the wall.
Cool.
And instead, you just sort of hear the sound of gooshing above you.
Well, another successful battle.
Actually, you're still in order. Next in the order is Taco.
Make a perception check.
Yeah, sure, if you want.
See if I see it. Well, I got a five anyway, so let's not even
okay.
mess around. I cast...
You can make an attack on a creature you can't see. It's just very hard. Or you can try and illuminate it somehow.
Yeah, so no, I'm not gonna do that. I am going to do prestidigitation and shoot some sparks up in the air.
Hell yeah.
To try to catch a glimpse of it.
Shoot some Bubba sparks? Okay. You don't need to do a roll.
No, I'm actually just shoot some. I'm going to shake up a can of sparks, and I'm going to spray it in the air to see if it hits the slime guy.
Do you want to do that, or do you want to do the fireworks
thing? I'll do the fireworks thing.
Okay. Taco launches a volley.
They're silent fireworks.
Of silent fireworks.
But deadly.
Into the sky, and they burst and then sort of just like freeze frame up there. It's really cool. And because of that, you can actually see the mass of it sort of directly above Taco.
Cool, cool.
Merle says, ooh, pretty.
No, and he does Constitution saving throw.
Oh, right.
You can't die in here.
18.
Okay. Cool.
No, 20. Because you rolled an 18 plus 2.
Next in the order is you, Merle. It's on the ceiling about 20 feet up.
Is it like one of those sticky toys that you throw up and we can see it starting to like peel off?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Absolutely.
I have to try Sacred Flame one more time.
Are you going to burn all your spell slots, though?
Sacred Flame is a cantrip, I think.
Is it a cantrip, Dad, or is it a spell slot?
It's a cantrip.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I'll go for it. What's the range on that, though? 20 feet?
60 feet.
Oh, God. Flame away.
Why don't you flame the bad guys in the other cave?
Yeah. Why don't you just flame your way out of this adventure?
Just
go ahead and flame
Clark.
The final boss. Yeah.
I just thought maybe making it competitive was a good idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
All blast right. him.
Okay,
well,
I'm
make
hit
a
with
check.
Sacred Flame.
Cool. I rolled a four. So that's just, I'm not even going to, so I subtract two from that. So bad.
Okay. So am I rolling damage?
Uh huh.
Yep.
Seven plus.
Nothing.
No, it's seven. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, you do that, you blow a lot of his gunk off, and it sort of rains down, actually, on you and Taco. Why don't you guys actually make reflex checks to see if you can sort of dodge this rain shower of ochre jelly jism that you've just showered all over the two of you.
Oh, please,
now, Griff,
Taco.
I don't see a reflex on here.
Oh, sorry, it would just be a dexterity dexterity saving throw.
You better do it because I'm minus one in dexterity.
Well, you both are going to do it.
Oh, he can't reflex right. for you, Dad. That's not how reactions
That's a good
work.
Point. 16.
22.
Yeah. Cool. You're both safe. Okay. It's like the Matrix. You just sort of dodge the jism.
No.
It's like that one scene in the Matrix where they all dodge the jism.
That was Matrix with three X's.
Yeah.
is there anything I can kick?
No, but it is your turn.
Cue with the kicking.
Got these new boots.
The ochre jelly on the ceiling looks like it's just sort of a few fluid ounces.
Merle uses hand signals to tell Magnus he should shoot it.
What, hold on. You had mentioned earlier there was a figure in the jelly.
I mean, it's not a few fluid ounces. It's still...
Is there
I was
still,
being hyperbolic.
Is, does it look
yes,
kind of... Is
yes.
it like a Krang situation?
Oh, where there's like a brain inside?
Well, is there like a smaller person inside of it? Is it a thing?
At this point, there's so little jelly remaining, you can actually make out the shape of a humanoid figure inside of it.
Cool.
It doesn't look like it's operating it from the inside out, though, Krang-like.
I see.
Ooh.
Oh, maybe it's being digested. I'm going to stand in underneath it with my shield raised.
Hell yeah.
And get ready to catch it as it falls.
Dig it. Cool. Well, that's on his turn. That's actually exactly what he's going to do. He's going to come down hard, though. So let's do a strength contest to see if you can withstand the blow of the jelly. I understand.
Am I just rolling?
Yeah, you'll do a check and you'll add your strength modifier to it, and that's what I'll do too, and the winner takes it all. I roll a 13 plus 2, 15.
I rolled a 21.
Okay. Yeah, you take the full weight of the jelly and just sort of easily cast it aside a few feet away from where you're standing. And that is it for the jelly turn.
Is it taco?
Yep, taco time.
Rare Frost. Here it comes. Count it. That's a...
Was it like a high number?
I miss.
What did you get? His
one.
Armor class is a joke.
It's a one.
Well, that's a miss
one.
No matter what.
Well, yeah. One plus five, six.
Nope. You can't add anything to a one.
You shoot out crushed ice.
Wait, why can't
and the jelly enjoys a cold beverage.
Sorry.
Why can't I add anything to a one?
A one is a critical miss. No matter what, it misses. There's no fixing it. So a little bit of two ice cubes come out.
You ran out of coolant.
Yeah.
Taco shouts, fuck!
And you make a constitution saving throw?
12.
Okay, that's fine. Next in the order is Merle.
You should Okay. kick. I've already established that it's... So there's a difference between when you... What did you hit it with originally, Trav, that split it in two?
That was my axe, slashing damage.
So that's slashing.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't tried bludgeoning it, have we?
No.
I'm going to hit it with my warhammer.
We also haven't tried hugging it. I'm just saying, guys, maybe there's a peaceful option.
I will very flirtatiously hit Thank it you. With my warhammer.
Okay.
Right. The jelly's kind like, of a wink and like a hip wiggle.
Hey.
You hear the jelly go,
That must be jam because jelly don't shake like that.
22.
Oh, yeah. And then you roll 1d8 plus 2.
10.
Whoa, you roll max damage?
I did.
Damn. Mm-hmm. The jelly just sort of splatters, and you actually send the fungus that it had ingested, which, by the way, was healing it the entire time you were fighting it. And you send a dwarven figure just flying out of the jelly. It rolls for about 10 or 15 feet and stops just shy of going flying off of the ledge. And you guys are out of combat. Congratulations, you've solved my jelly puzzle.
Yeah!
You have solved my
Wait,
puzzle of jam.
Was the solution kill it?
out.
He didn't say it was a hard puzzle.
It was a very sticky situation. I'll make a constitution check. That was Agnes saying that.
Oh, okay. I would have taken just you saying it, but that's fine.
13.
13, you're fine.
Sometimes Agnes makes puns. Sometimes Travis makes puns. It depends on who's got the wheel at the second.
There's actually a pretty big patch where the jelly has the jellies, I should say, consumed a lot of the fungus. So you can safely stand there and talk it at with your outside voices if you want, if you feel like it.
Is it possible to gather up the fungus for future use?
If you want to try and pick some of the fungus, I'll let you.
Hold on, Merle.
I'll let you do it with a nature check if you want.
What's an H check?
Nature check.
I'm terrible at nature.
Okay.
I'll try it. 18.
18, yeah. You grab some mushrooms. They're not glowing anymore when you pick them up, and then you sort of ponder the nature of, like, life. You sort of ponder, like, the circle of life and nature and what... It's sort of like this perfect reflection of what we humans are doing to our ecosystem. It's really tragic, you guys.
Does it have any healing properties? That's all I need to know about.
I've got some Netflix documentaries I want you guys to watch. Does it have healing properties? I mean, goddamn, there's one way to find out in there.
Does it have psychedelic properties?
I hand the mushroom to over to Merle, and I say, hey, you look rough. You took some serious damage in that fight. Maybe just give this a whirl.
Trust me, I'm a wizard.
I ought to eat one and see what happens.
You should eat one.
All right, I'm going to eat one of the mushrooms.
Uncooked?
Yeah,
so you can get all the benefits.
What are you, a heathen?
Okay. He wants it raw.
What would Anthony Bourdain do?
He would eat the weird jizz mushroom off the cave floor.
I am painting myself into a terrible corner.
Do you know why Anthony Bourdain would eat that jizz mushroom?
Why?
Because he's got no reservations.
That's also why he can't get dinner at a reasonable hour.
Yeah.
Tell me what to roll to see if it kills me.
No, you just eat it.
I eat the mushroom.
It tastes amazing, and you feel you feel like a buzz, like you just drank a 12-ounce glass of delicious Surge. But it doesn't patch your wounds, unfortunately. I can't stress this enough. It was really delicious. You think maybe the water that was sort of nurturing these mushrooms was had some sort of picante. I shouldn't say picante because then Taco's going to think that this is his moment. That they've wandered into a salsa cavern.
Is it continuing to drip and flow up over the edge?
Oh yeah. It's not flowing up onto the edge. It's sort of crashing against the rock wall, and just sort of shooting straight upward. It's not like you guys aren't in danger of being like swept over the edge or anything like that.
How do we go investigate the dwarven figure?
Yeah, you still got the dwarven figure there. You got the elevator leading down, which actually has like an iron lattice gate that has.
Is there a man inside wearing like a jaunty hat saying like elevator business got its ups and downs? That kind of thing?
Yeah, that's exactly what. No.
Lawn furniture, fourth floor. Ladies' lingerie, second floor.
So.
I want to go investigate the dwarven figure. How do we do that?
Just walk over.
I walk over to the dwarven figure to investigate it.
Okay. I'm assuming that you anything you say from this point on will be at a low whisper.
Guys, we have to be quiet.
You roll the dwarf over, and sadly, tragically, Merle, you recognize it as Nundro Rockseeker, the second... the middle brother of the Rock Seeker.
No!
And then you take a constitution.
Nundro!
Check out his boots.
While you check out his boots, Merle takes a constitution saving throw.
Seven.
Not sufficient. That's one, though. Just one poison damage.
I take
dwarves have an advantage on saving throws against poison.
Oh,
and
tight.
You have resistance against poison damage.
Oh, great. Well, go do that again then. Roll.
I don't know.
Well, there were several that should have applied to.
Well.
9. Oh, plus 2, 11.
Oh, then yeah, you're fine.
Okay.
I take Merle gently by the shoulders and lead him away as I kind of like tilt my head towards the body at Taco. Like, I'm going to check his pockets.
I search the body for valuables.
You little...
Nope, you don't see it. You're with me. You're being consoled.
You don't know I'm doing that.
He's family!
You don't know I'm doing it. He's a blind spot to you right now. You need to be nurtured.
He does not have magic jumping boots.
No.
My magic jumping boots.
Topical.
He does have with him, though, a rucksack with some mining supplies. You think it's maybe some of them that he got from the mining camp outpost that you guys found at the front of Wave Echo Cave, where you found his dead brother. Don't worry, he was long dead before you struck the killing blow, Merle.
Oh, we weren't worried.
Oh, okay. In the bag, though, he does have a very small lockbox that is fortunately unlocked, because y'all don't got no rogues in your party, that has inside of it 320 gold pieces. A small fortune.
All right, I put all that in my bag.
God! Well,
hold on.
Yeah, go ahead, Mr. Funny Man.
I assume we've split that.
You guys don't know about it.
I put it all in my bag.
Okay. I'll let the three of you guys figure that out later.
I watched that happen. You son of a bitch.
I take the rest of the gear and I throw it over the edge.
Okay.
And then I call out, oh, I don't know, guys. They got it all, I guess, before now.
You take Constitution check.
And as you walk around, we just hear jingle, jangle, jingle, jangle, jingle, jingle. Hey, do you have like a ton of coins in your pocket?
No. They're all bottle caps. I'm saving them for UNICEF. I'm saving bottle caps for UNICEF. I would love some gold, though, if you want to buy some bottle caps.
Every year, dragons kill kids.
You can feed this entire village.
With bottle caps. I don't know. They just eat the things. No, I am going to need to make that constitution saving throw, though, Taco.
Yeah, that's fair. Five.
It's not very good, is it? Two damage. Also, in the lockbox is a small, very rusted iron key.
Oh, there was a key.
Okay.
I bet that's to the elevator.
Gesture, did you say?
I wave them over and show them the key.
And you give them like a thumbs up?
Like a thumbs up, and then I point to the elevator.
And I snatch it because I was the only living relative.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you
get the awesome rusted key. But you have to spend a night in the haunted house.
It might be a magic elevator. Maybe that elevator is actually a Warhammer or something.
Maybe it's like the Wonkavator, and it'll go anywhere we want.
Let's get the fuck on it.
Okay. Yeah, it is indeed the key to the elevator.
Oh, thank God.
You turn it, you go down. You are now on the level with the spring. You are actually getting a little bit wet as the waves come up on you.
How's the elevator working?
It's sort of a rope and pulley situation.
Cool.
It's very medieval and very fantasy. it's the kind of thing that one might take up to a parapet.
I want to drink from the spring.
Oh, okay. You drink from the spring, and it's amazing. You feel very, very energized, and you actually feel... Right as rain, you feel like you just woke up from a long rest.
So kind of like a Cialis commercial?
You feel kind of like you're in a Cialis commercial.
Cool. We all get in tubs.
You actually feel incredible. And if you took any damage, it's actually fine.
Y'all Merle, you should... on this spring.
I better get a drink, too.
Okay.
I'll drink from the spring.
Okay. You actually
It kills you.
It kills you. You die. It's anti-dwarven raid. you can actually all take this opportunity to take a little spring break if you want. Oh, shit. Spring I didn't break. Even think about that.
Let's go see Kenny Chesney.
That's who you'd want to see?
Dwarves have very specific musical tastes.
Most of them are into, like, electronic dance music. Most of them are, like, crazy about Diplo.
Hell, I'm not like every dwarf you know.
Do you know about Diplo, Dad?
Yeah, they're little building blocks that people have, like Legos. Right?
That's exactly right. I'm so proud of you.
Can we make it canonical that Merle was cast out of his clan because of his love for Kenny Chesney?
Yeah. They were all listening to Skrillex.
Kenny Chesney.
Okay. Well, I never accept your taste in music, Merle.
She thinks my tractor's sexy, and I think I'm no longer welcome here.
Any way for us to store some of this water?
I checked my inventory. I mean, you check yours, see if you got a water canteen skin or something. I don't have a
I do have a water skin.
I bizarrely do not have a water skin on
you
me.
Wait, do you have an adventurer's kit, Juice?
No.
Oh, I do have a water skin. Can I fill it with water from the fountain?
You can. You reach into the shimmering water of the spring, and you scoop up some of it from your water skin. It's amazing. As you lift the water skin from the water, you peer inside, and it's actually almost like a flashlight. Like, it's that bright, the water. It's shining out of it.
I love shiny water.
And as you stand there and look at it, it actually gets less and less shiny the longer you have it in your water skin until eventually the light completely goes out.
And so I assume it lost all magical
Yeah,
property.
You get the idea that maybe it's not the water as much as it is the stone that the water is landing in. Like, the basin itself is sort of imbuing.
I want to fill my water skin with the stone. Okay. I solved your riddle.
You pop one out like a jawbreaker, and now you're just sucking on stone.
New from Kenny Chesney.
I'm sucking on stone. Come on, Dad, and get on the tractor bus.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.
We're Dave and Graham, and we host Stop Podcasting Yourself.
We started this podcast back in 2008, before podcasts had to have any kind of concept, so we don't really know how to describe it.
It's kind of like going to the barber shop if your barber knew all about the first season of the show Elf.
It's like a 90-minute massage where the masseuse is two people talking to each other with a third person.
It's like the Monsters of Metal tour, only quieter, no music, and just talking.
It's like a makeout session, but without the lips touching, they just talk a lot.
Download Stop Podcasting Yourself from iTunes or MaximumFun.org.